Now I see grace. Hallelujah. I stand amazed. I'm staring at an empty grave. And the stone that you rolled away. When I was prideful, you saw sun. When I left nightland, you saw the one. And just like that, all my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace.
What's up? Oh, there we go. Good morning, Grace Point. Does that sound better? Good, good. Do I look better now? No, I can't look any better. Come on now. The implication of that was you don't look so good. We are really, really glad you are here today to worship the Lord with us, to fellowship with each other, and I just want to welcome you. As we get started today, I want to read a verse of Scripture. Paul wrote it in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, and here's what he said. For we live, walk, by what we believe, faith, not by what we can see, sight. For we live by what we believe, not by what we can see. We walk, we have faith, that gives us sight. You're going to hear about that this morning. All right? So let's pray with that in mind. God, thank you for giving us this opportunity to be back in this building to worship you. We come, we have fellowship. It's good to see friends and family, brothers and sisters in Christ, and we've enjoyed that already. And now, God, we want to focus our minds, our hearts on worshiping you. Father, I thank you that you allow us to live and to walk in life by what we believe, that is faith in you, not by what we see, not by our own human sight. Teach us today what it's like to live in faith and to be people of faith. Now bless as we sing your praises. We all ask these things together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Mark, it is always good to have you back, brother. It really is. Give Mark a big hand. He's a friend, was a church member when he lived down here, and one of, Jason, you helped me. Where'd Jason go? Oh, is Mark Black, one of the best musicians I've ever heard.
One of the best musicians and one of the best people ever.
Too. Yeah, yeah. Good job. Well, I'm going to start a new series of messages today. The series is called Living in Faith. Living in Faith. Now, why am I going to start a new series today about living in faith? It's because if we're to accomplish all that God has called us to accomplish, that is reaching people for Jesus, here on our campus and inside the buildings, repairing, renovating, upgrading, and through that as a means to reach more people for Jesus, if we're to meet the needs of other people in the name of Jesus, then we're going to need loads of faith. Faith in God. So we're going to do a series of messages called Living in Faith. Today, I want to talk to you about what happens when you have faith. What takes place when you have faith? The Bible says the way to live is to live by faith. The way we connect with God is by faith. And without faith, the Bible tells us, it's impossible to please God without faith. So we're going to take 10 weeks, 2.5 months of talking about living in faith. Now, if you have your outlines, look with me. Follow along. You can fill in the blanks. You can see the scriptures there. They'll also be on the screen. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, what is faith? Faith is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. and to be certain of the things we do not yet see. Now, I want you to underline the last word in that verse, the word see. Faith has to do with your vision. Fill this in. God, it says, from faith is seeing from God's point of view. Faith is seeing things the way God sees things. It's seeing them from God's viewpoint. Now, we see a lot. In physical creation, God has given some unusual gifts of vision, of seeing, even to the most peculiar, smallest, largest of animals and insects that he created. Think of this. The eyes of a horse are on either side of the horse's head, not in front. But God created the horse in such a way that the eyes from the side of its head can see about 210 degrees around from side. And what that means is at some point they meet in the middle, their field of vision, and that's how they see straight ahead. The dragonfly has a compound eye, which enables it to see, get this, it sees in slow motion. That's why it can find out where the insects are and they can go eat them. Think for a moment about the common pigeon sitting on a billboard somewhere. Like humans, it can see color. But unlike humans, the pigeons can also see ultraviolet light. And they are therefore able to see ranges of colors that we can't see. How many of you have a house cat? Anybody have a cat? But a few of you do love cat lovers. Okay. A house cat cannot see colors. It sees in shades of gray. But in what it can see in shades of gray, God has given that house cat the ability to see depth of vision, which means anytime it wants to jump from here to here to pounce on its prey or get to that location, every time he lands exactly where he wanted to land, because he has depth of vision. Here in South Carolina, we have the belted kingfisher bird. It has two kinds of vision. It sees from above, down below the water, the fish that it wants to eat. And when it goes down into the water, as soon as it penetrates the water, its vision changes so he can find that fish and eat it. God gives curious kinds of vision to his creation. But there is yet another kind of vision that God gives us. Look what it says in Ephesians 1:18. Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be flooded with light so that you can see the wonderful future that God has promised to those he called. Underline that phrase, the eyes of your heart. That's a different way to see. What kind of seeing is it when you see with the eyes of your heart? What this verse says is there's an unseen realm to our world, and there is an unseen realm, there is a seen realm in our world. For instance, you can see this stage. A little while ago, you saw all the band members, the instruments they were playing. You can see that. But there's another realm you can't see. For instance, we believe God is here. We believe the Holy Spirit is here, much more powerful than anything you can visually see now. It's another realm, the spiritual realm. And the Bible has many examples of what seeing with your spiritual eyes are. What it means to see with the eyes of your heart, seeing things from God's viewpoint. Faith, it takes faith to see things from God's point of view. And as we negotiate life, we can either see things the way we tend to see things through eyes of fear, or we can see things the way God sees things, the way he wants us to see things, and that is through eyes of faith. Now, we're going to look at a passage, Numbers chapters 13 and 14 in the Old Testament. And first, we're going to see what happens when we see with eyes of fear. Because sometimes we see with our eyes of fear. And five things happen when we see with these eyes of fear. Now, in Numbers 13 and 14, it talks about when the Jewish people were set free from Pharaoh, from Egyptian captivity that they had been in for some 400 years. They were set free, and they were getting ready to enter the promised land. It was right there, right there. And they sent people into the promised land just to scope it out. Just to see what was really there, how good it was going to be. And so some of their spies went in, and they came back out. And most of them saw through eyes of fear, not faith. So here's what happens when we see with eyes of fears. Number one, we exaggerate our difficulties. We exaggerate our difficulties. Here's an amazing thing. God just delivered the Jews from Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world, and now they're concerned, they're worried about a local tribe. They just defeated Pharaoh, now they're worried about somebody else. How quickly we forget God just delivered them. He parted the Red Sea, he did miraculous things to bring them out, and now they're worried about someone else. How quickly we forget. Maybe they just didn't remember at all that God just delivered them from the power, most powerful nation in the world, and they just forgot what God had done. When you look at your problems with eyes of fear, the problems get bigger. We exaggerate our difficulties. Look what it says in Numbers 13, 27 and 28. They say about the land, it is magnificent. It is a magnificent land, but... You know there's problems when but is in there, right? It's a great land, but the people living there are powerful. Their cities are fortified and large. And what's more, we saw Anakim giants there. And all of a sudden, they're afraid. In Numbers 13, 31 and 32, look what it says. Other spies said they would crush us. So the majority report of the spies was negative. Now, folks, a lot of times, the majority report is almost always negative. Anybody who's going to get something done in the world is going to have to go against the majority report because the majority of the people are going to be looking at through eyes of fear, not through eyes of faith. And negative attitudes are contagious. You ever notice that? These people are walking right up to the edge of the land. Everybody was excited about going into the promised land. It was only when 10 of them came back and said, we can't do it, that everybody changed their mind. Everybody but two people. And now what's ironic is this. They said the place is filled with giants. We can't take them on. They're too big for us. They're too powerful. Ironically, 38 years later, when the generation did get into the promised land, you know what the enemy said to them? The enemy that they said they can't defeat, that the enemies were so big and powerful, we can't do it, we can't do it. 38 years later, when the generation did get in there, the enemy said, we lived in panic for 40 years because we heard about the 10 plagues of Egypt. We heard about what your God has done against the most powerful leader in the world, Pharaoh. And we were scared to death. We were ready to surrender. The enemy's ready to give up. And they stayed out of the promised land because they listened to what everybody said negatively. Can you imagine that the Jewish people needlessly walked around in the wilderness for 40 years because they were afraid of an enemy? While the enemy was so scared of them, they were ready to surrender. When we see with eyes of fear, we exaggerate the difficulties. Now, you're going to be seeing some things that are going to be happening here in our church. There are going to be changes. Some changes in the buildings, some changes in the campus. We're not going to do them all at once. We can't. A little bit at a time. We're going to start in this building. We're going to start right here in our sanctuary. And you're going to be seeing some things that will be forthcoming in our parking, more parking spaces. We're going to rearrange the sanctuary so we can seat 192 people. That's a lot. That's a little bit more than we're getting now. 192 people will be sitting in here one day worshiping the Lord. And the screen's fine, but we're going to have two really nice, big, huge TVs up there so you can see better. Maybe they'll even put a camera on me. You can see me here and see me there at the same time. You'll be getting a triple dose of Mr. Bennett. Don't leave. It's an exciting time, folks. It is. Don't let anybody who's a negative Nancy come to you and start telling you about this negative report. Don't buy into it. Five things happen when we see with eyes of fear. We exaggerate the difficulties. Number two, we underestimate our own abilities. We underestimate our own abilities. Look what it says in Numbers 33:13. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. They're saying about themselves, we are insects. We're just a bunch of bugs compared to those guys. They're not only going to eat their lunch, they're going to eat us for lunch. They said, we ourselves are just like grasshoppers. Folks, that was a poor self-image they had of themselves. And now they are projecting onto the enemies. You know what projection is, right? Something we feel about ourselves, we project that onto somebody else. They thought they were insects, and they were projecting on those other guys. They're enormous giants. They're going to just take us out. Folks, you tend to project your fears on other people around you, and that's why they're doing here. They're doing the very same thing. They're projecting their fears. They have been slaves for 400 years. They've been freed for 40, but still mentally they're enslaved, and they don't see themselves as someone who is free, but someone who is helpless. Let's take just a minute here, because many years ago, people said things about you and about me behind our back that maybe you overheard. Maybe it came from a parent, what you thought was a good friend. And for whatever reason, you bought into that and you believed that. Some of them may already be dead and you're still believing their lies. You have enslaved yourself to an image of self that they gave you. And I'm here to say, get out of that. You don't have to live in that Egypt in your mind and in your heart anymore. Jesus will set you free. He will bring healing to you. He will build you back up. It's funny that in the Bible it said that some of these spies that the guy saw, they were tall. And they said, these guys are giants. What's interesting, later when they went in, they found out that the taller people were actually the most common, peaceful people. They were afraid of somebody who wouldn't have fought them in the back alley if they had to. The tall people weren't even warriors, and they were afraid. Five things happen when you see with eyes of fear. You exaggerate your difficulties. You underestimate your abilities. And number three, you get discouraged. You get discouraged. In Numbers 14, verse 1, it says, then all the people began weeping aloud, and they carried on all night. Did you ever have an all-nighter? Maybe in school, in college, I had all-nighters my whole first semester because I wasn't very smart back then. It took me a long time to write my two-page paper. And you had to stay up all night. They had an all-nighter here, but it was because they were just weeping aloud. They were carrying on all night, and they were having a big, giant pity party. Poor us. They're crying, they're weeping, because now they won't get to go into the promised land. They were so wrong. Fear kept them out. They were discouraged. Number four. Another thing that happens when you see with eyes of fear is you start to gripe about your life. You just start complaining. You're the president. You're the complaining committee leader. You start griping. In Numbers 14:2, it says, all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. We wish he had died in Egypt, they wailed, or even here in the wilderness. First they mourn, and now they murmur. First they cry, and now they complain. Nothing worse than whiny complainers. You can handle some people who are complaining, but when they whine about it, when we see through eyes of fear, we gripe about our lives. Number five, then we eventually give up. Listen to this. We give up and we blame God. We give up and we blame the God who brought us out of Egypt. In Numbers 14:3, why is the Lord bringing us to this land to be killed with swords? We'd be better off going back to Egypt. Decades ago, a Christian singer named Keith Green, in one of his albums, wrote a song called "So You Want to Go Back to Egypt." And that's what they're saying here. We'd be better off going back to Egypt. You know what they're saying? They're saying we know better than God knows. They're blaming God for not letting them go into the promised land. Folks, God wasn't holding them back. It was their fear that was holding them back. Now, all of a sudden, they're remembering the good old days of Egypt. Good old days? What good old days? 400 years of slavery. Why would anybody want to go back to Egypt? Now, be careful. It's easy to point a finger at these people, but sometimes we want to go back to Egypt. Sometimes we, in our fears, won't let go of attitudes or behaviors or habits or hurts or hang-ups. And sometimes we blame God too. Now, let's contrast seeing with eyes of fear with what the Bible says will happen when we start living in faith. A big difference. When we start to live our lives in faith, learning to see how God sees, using God's vision, learning to look at things not as they are, but what they could be, eyes of faith. What happens when we live? What happens when we see with eyes of faith? Five things. Faith shrinks our problems. Fear exaggerates your difficulty. Faith shrinks your problems. When we begin to see what God is doing around us, we begin to see things from God's viewpoint, and it shrinks our problems. It gives you a new perspective. Folks, when you see your problem from God's viewpoint, everything else gets a whole lot more manageable. If you have a big God, even your big problems begin to get small. Now, when you come to the Lord and you're saying, Lord, you're a big God and you can handle this problem, then I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to lay it at your feet. I'm going to let you work it out. Then you begin to start to relax and you say, you know what? I don't know how it's going to be solved. I don't know all the ins and outs of it. I don't even know the timing of it, but it's in God's hands. I placed it in God's hands. I can now just start to relax. It's not my problem anymore. It's God's problem. God's got problems. He's got our problems. But he's got it all under control. Look at Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. It asks the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is what? No, nada, no way, no how. And Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. Faith shrinks our problems. And number two, when we see things through the eyes of faith, faith opens the door for a miracle. Faith can move mountains. If you study the Bible and history, you find out that every time God moves out on earth, he does it in a miraculous way because somebody believed. Somebody had faith, and faith opens doors to miracles. Look at Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. Have faith in God. If you have faith in God and you don't doubt, you could tell this mountain to get up and jump into the sea, and it would. Whatever you ask for in prayer will be yours if you only have the faith. What is he talking about here? What in the world is Jesus talking about here? Telling a mountain to jump into the sea? I want to see that. Listen, folks, God has set up the universe in a hierarchy of laws, and the law of faith is actually a higher law than the laws of nature. That's where miracles come in, because when faith is used, the law of faith goes into practice, and God set up the fact that the law of faith can actually do more than the law of physics. Does God still perform miracles today? Oh, three of you believe yes. God does still do miracles today. So what's the mountain in your life that needs to be moved? What's the mountain in your life about which you are saying it's never going to change? Folks, God is in the mountain-moving business. Don't doubt it. Have faith. Believe now what you cannot see. Faith shrinks my problems. It opens doors to miracles. And number three, faith moves God to act on my behalf. In Matthew 9:29, Jesus said this, according to your faith, it will be done to you. God says, you get to choose how much I will bless your life. According to your faith, it will be done to you. So expect God to use you. Expect God to bless you, not selfishly, but to make you a blessing so other people around you can also be blessed. Expect God to grow you. Expect God to change you. Expect God to fix things that are broken right now. You've got to have faith enough to say, God, I don't understand it. And God, even I must admit, I don't have full faith, but I have enough. I have some faith. You remember the story in the Bible where a man took his son who was dying. And he took his son to Jesus and he said, Jesus, he's dying. We've tried everything. Nothing's happened and I don't want to lose my son. And Jesus asked him a question. He said, do you have faith? He said, do you believe? And I love the answer that this dad gave to Jesus. He looked at Jesus and he said, I believe. Help my unbelief. I have faith. But there's part of me that doesn't believe it. I love honest faith, and so does God. God, I have faith. You can still move a mountain, but in all honesty, God, there's part of me that says, I'm not sure. It's all right. You don't have to have full faith all the time for God to work and for God to move and for God to bless. You can have just enough that says, God, I believe. Help me when I don't believe. You know why I like that? Because that's the kind of faith most of us have, including this man. I believe it. I've seen it. Sometimes, God, I just don't. Now, when you have faith, it doesn't mean you're going to get everything you want all the time, when you want it, how you want it. I thank God for that. If God had given me some things I'd ask for, I don't even know where I'd be right now. God knows better for us. He knows what's best for us. Think about this, folks. When we were Calvary Baptist Church, when we were Crossroads Community Church, Calvary was thinking, oh, this good. We got the buildings, we got this, but, you know, we need more people. We just have a few people. We need more people. And when we were Crossroads Church, I was wondering if we're going to be able to meet in a school forever. Setting up, taking down, making sure, getting there at 7 in the morning, unloading music equipment, reloading it back in. God, please. And then COVID hit. We didn't have a place to go. What little people Calvary had, they were shut out, couldn't come to church. And I was like, God, what is going on? I felt like maybe as a pastor I wasn't doing my job well enough. I wondered why my faith wasn't strong enough. And I remember God saying to me, "Kevin, do you trust me?" And my answer was yes, because I was afraid to say not really. Sometimes. God, yes, I trust you. All right, Kevin, are you going to serve me? Are you going to serve the people I give to you with all your heart, even if you never have a building in which to meet? Even if you have to set up and break down for the next 5, 10, 20, 30 years? And I waited and I thought, I've never done church that way before, God. It's not how I was trained. And God said, it's time to get out of what you've done before and what you know well. It's time to live by faith. And God did better than what we asked for, and God did better than what Calvary was hoping for. God took old Calvary and old Crossroads, and he made new Grace Point. And we have buildings, we have facilities, we have a campus, and look around, we have people. I'm going to tell you right now, come Easter Sunday, you better get here early. You will not have a place to sit. Well, we'll find something. I don't know what we'll do, but God bless. Faith moves God to act on our behalf even when we don't understand. Amen? That ought to make you glad. It ought to make you happy to know what happens when we see through eyes of faith. When we look through eyes, when we see with eyes of faith, it shrinks our problems, it opens up doors for miracles, it moves God to act on our behalf. Number four, it turns God-given dreams into reality. Faith turns God-given dreams into reality. I want to challenge you folks to dream about your relationships, to dream about your marriage, to your family, to dream about your career, to dream about how God wants to use you, to dream about where he's going to take you over the next 10, 15, 20 years. I want you to start dreaming about that because God's going to bring some of those dreams to reality. I want us to dream together about the continued growth of our church, not just so we get big, but in the process of getting bigger, we reach more people for Jesus. I'm not about this, and Pastor John and Pastor Jason are not about having a big church and just hanging out. No way, no how. If that's your mindset, might consider some other church. Now, when I say stuff like that, people go, whoa. No, really, we're going to grow people to reach more people for Jesus. If we get a little bit bigger, great. We'll meet more people. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. The Bible is full of people who had God-given dreams. Abraham dreamed of being the father of a great nation. Moses dreamed of setting people free. Joseph dreamed of saving the nation and his own family. Daniel and Paul and David, all kinds of people were inspiring dreamers. Look at Ephesians 3:20. Glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers and desires and thoughts or hopes. Would you underline that phrase where it says infinitely beyond our highest prayers? We think we pray way up, and we think we're doing this by faith, and all that's good and right, and God's using us, blessing us, growing us, and we're just and God's like, you haven't even come close yet. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers. Folks, God is able to do more than we could ever ask. What are you afraid to ask God for? Sometimes I'm afraid to ask God because then I feel like if God doesn't answer, I was the problem. Now, sometimes I am the problem. Sometimes you're the problem, right? But that should never, ever stop us from asking God for big stuff, for asking God to make us dream the way he wants us to dream about our lives and about our church. Because God is the one who turns dreams into reality. What happens when we see with eyes of faith? Shrinks your problems, opens a door for miracles, It moves God to act on your behalf. It turns God-given dreams into reality. And last, number five, faith gives me power to hold on in tough times. Why is this important? Because faith doesn't always take you out of the problem. You remember one of the greatest psalms, probably the passage that most people can refer to besides John 3:16, is Psalm 23. And there the psalm writer said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." God did not take him out. God didn't cut a different swath of ground that he could walk. He said, "I walk through the valley." Sometimes God doesn't take you out. He takes you through. Our desire probably most of the time is to take us out because we feel like it's easier. God says you're not getting out. You've got to go through. And faith gives you the ability to handle the pain. Faith doesn't make life heaven on earth. It gives you the ability to handle it. It doesn't take you out of the storm. It calms you in the midst of the storm. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed and broken. We're perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We're attacked, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep moving. What was that group, Chumbawamba? We get knocked down, but I get up again, right? That's as good as I get right there. We get knocked down, but we get up and keep going. Walter Payton was one of the greatest NFL running backs in NFL history, played for the Chicago Bears. In his seasons where he played as a running back, he accumulated 9 miles of rushing yardage. If you know anything about sports, that would impress you. 9 miles of rushing yardage. And one sportscaster said, yeah, and that's with somebody knocking him down every 4.6 yards. Knocked down, he gets back up. Knocked down, he gets back up. 9 miles. The key is to get back up. To get back up. Where do you get resilience like that? You get it through your faith in God. So we're going to spend 10 weeks on living in faith. This is just an intro. I hope you'll be here through that, because I believe God doesn't just want to speak to you individually. I think he wants to teach us as a church about faith. Because God, I believe, is going to call us to do things here at Grace Point that we cannot do any other way but through faith. I'd rather you not be on the negative report committee. We'll look at things realistically, but we'll look at them the way God sees it. With eyes of faith. Okay? All right, let's pray together. God, you're always good, and we're so grateful for letting us hear today a little bit about what it means to live in faith. Lord, you showed us examples from the people who saw the situation through eyes of fear, and they literally kept themselves out of the promised land. For 40 years, they had to walk around because they wouldn't have faith. They could have walked right in, but their lack of faith kept them out. Father, we don't want to be those folks. We want to be the folks that said, you know what, I have enough faith. I don't have full faith all the time, but we have enough faith in you, God, to know that even where we have some questions, even where we may have some fears, you are larger, stronger, full of more grace than any of those fears might be. And you help us see things from your perspective. And when we do that, God, there will be nothing to hold us back to continue to grow with you and serve with you, and there will be nothing to hold back this church and what you're calling us to do. So help us to start living in faith, God, trusting you. We pray, God, we ask you these things with hearts of faith that you've heard us and that you will answer us. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's kind of interesting when I do my messages, I start working on them. Sometimes on Monday night, sometimes I'm just tired after Sunday and working all day Monday. Sometimes I take Monday night off. Sometimes I start on Monday. I always start on Tuesday. I'm into it by Tuesday. And this message, sorry, I didn't preach this for you. This was for me. I preached it for you too, because there's a lot of yous out there that are a lot like me. And God wants to strengthen our faith together. Will you do what you need to do today to live in faith?
I pray that we leave here today, that we can pay attention to our faith, and that we grow it, and we just have unconditional faith in you. Be with us as we go through and a missionary to the world. Lord, we love you, and we ask all this in your name. Amen.